Today on episode number 363 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/363. If you're looking to start a podcast soon, stay tuned because I've got a really, really good deal for you. Also, we're going to talk about growing your audience, growing your community, and I'm going to show you how I'm looking at other industries that are rapidly shrinking, and we're looking at the businesses that are thriving in that industry and see what lessons we can learn from that. We're also going to visit the patent troll issue. This is the guy that's going around suing podcasters. I've got a audio clip for you on that. We've got a last five and five and a member spotlight, all on today's episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for tuning into the show. If you're new to the show, look, we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to recording to producing to monetizing, all points in between. Now, what I do is I bring my 20 plus years as a technical instructor, and I try to wipe out all the jargon and all those confusing terms and just make it fun and make it enjoyable and help you launch a successful podcast. I would love to have any questions you might have. There's a couple different ways you can contact me. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments toll free. It's 888-563-3228. You can leave a comment on the blog, and you can also use the little voicemail button out at the website. If you've got a microphone plugged in, I would love to hear from you. Now, if you're new to the show, I normally start off with some sort of podcast success or a top story, things like that. And what I don't do is what I'm going to do today, which is basically start off with about a 2-3 minute plug. And that's because right now, if you want to enjoy the content that I create for making a podcast, I have self-paced tutorials, I have resources, and of course, little old me, you would join the School of Podcasting and you could do the self-paced tutorials, very reasonably priced course. The other end of the spectrum is if you want one-on-one consulting, it's not inexpensive, it's quick, it's fast, it's very personal, but there's, as you might imagine, a little more larger price tag for that. Well, I found something that's going to bridge the gap. I was calling it group coaching this way. What it is you get the personalized attention, the live element, because these are going to be live classes. I'm calling it 6 weeks to launch a podcast. And what I mean by that is in 6 weeks, you actually have a podcast in iTunes. All right. And what's great about this is it's just broken down week by week. We're going to meet. This starts August 3rd. Okay. August 3rd. It's going to be from 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 2. So a two-hour class, 6 weeks in a row. In fact, if you tried to do this with me one-on-one, this would cost you $1,800. And I'll tell you how much it's going to cost here in a minute. And I hope I don't sound like, you know, but wait, there's more. But I want to let you know who this is designed for. Number one, I want you to be in the class. I hope you can attend live 12 to 2. It's going to be a webinar. I'll be showing you my screen and we'll be interacting with each other. And there actually will be a smidge of homework when we get into the week one. I'll explain that here in a second. But now if you can't attend live, because I realize I have friends and neighbors over in Australia, in the UK, things like that. They're on completely different schedules and they just can't do 12 p.m. on a Saturday. That's okay. If you can't attend, you can still sign up. Because you will get a copy of the recording. These will all be recorded. And the other thing I want to say is in addition to the price of the course, you are going to spend money on equipment. You're going to spend probably at least $70. Now, the good news is there are other people that will try to steer you towards thousands of dollars of equipment. Not me. I'm going to say, look, you need to spend at least, I think it's $35 for the microphone that I recommend, and probably another $35 on album artwork. And, you know, obviously there are things you can do for, music and things like that that are relatively inexpensive. But basically, you're going to spend, in a nutshell, around $100 to launch your podcast. Okay. And then about $25 a month to keep it going for your media host and your web host. Now, if you go, I don't have $70 for equipment and there's no way I can spend $25 a month to keep it going, then this class isn't for you. And in reality, podcasting isn't for you. Okay. So here's what it is. Week one, we're going to talk a lot about planning your podcast. There is an old phrase, I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said, it's something like, if I had 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 4 hours sharpening my axe. And that week one is all about sharpening your axe and defining where you want to go, how you're going to do it, why you want to do it, how you'll know when you get there in terms of success. A lot of questions getting into the mind of you, identifying your target audience. So week one, planning your podcast. Week two, podcast equipment. Now we're going to talk about, okay, now that I know where I want to go and the kind of show I want to create, what kind of equipment do I need to produce this? And this will give you, we'll talk about pricing. We'll talk about the most efficient way to record your podcast because you want it to sound good. You really want it to sound good. I've been listening to a lot. I've been going in and listening to like the top 10 podcasts in the different podcast directories. And if you listen to the ones that are in the top, they sound great. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, why they're in the top. Now, week three, we're going to get into recording your podcast. And this is using free software. You know, there are other great, if you're on a Mac, you can use GarageBand, you can use Audacity. And I'll show you some of the tools I use. But we're going to talk about recording your podcast. And it is relatively fairly easy because there are a lot of tools on all these software programs. But in reality, all you need to do is you need to know how to press record, get a proper level, maybe adjust a volume, things like that. And you'll see that while there are these bells and whistles, you're only going to use about four or five of them. Then we're going to get into, now that you have a podcast, you need a place to put it. And we'll talk about your actual website. We'll talk about media hosting. And then in week five, we'll actually talk about publishing your podcast and getting it listed into iTunes. Because at that point, you'll have a finished podcast. You'll have an actual episode recorded. And then the last week, week six, we're going to talk about podcast monetization and we're going to talk about podcast promotion. So it's a 6 week class. Again, I don't know that every week we'll need the 2 hours, but I wanted to schedule it that way just in case we have a lot of questions. And in the event that we run over and we need more than 2 hours on a single week, I'm going to be there. The great thing about this is, now, if you wanted to order this course with just me and you on a Saturday, it would cost you $1,800, okay, for 12 hours of my time. The beautiful thing is because this is the, quote, guinea pig class, right? This is the one where I've mapped everything out. I've been working on this since December is when I bought the domain howtopodcast.com. And if you go there, that's where you'll see this listed. And right now, this first class only, it's going to go up, is $99. That's right. If you bought this, just me and you, $1,800, this class, $99, just this first class. It will go up in the future. So, and I'm only letting a very small, and by that I mean less than 10 people in, because I don't want to have this big, huge group come in, and as I kind of kick the tires and go through the material with actual live students, I think I have an idea of what it's going to go like. And I'm using my 20 plus years of technical training, but you know, when you get a real student, it's a little different. So I'm going to do this in front of a very small group and you have an opportunity to be part of that small group. So go over to howtopodcast.com and it starts August 3rd. All right, next up, I always like to spotlight one of the members out at the School of Podcasting, and Scott is a great podcaster. His website is Computer Tutor Florida, and his podcast is called The Computer Tutor Podcast. And if you've ever run across different tips or tricks, things like that, this comes out every Monday, and if you've ever heard things and you go, wow, I didn't know I could do that, then you're going to love this podcast. Let's take just a little bit of time to listen to this. And really, I have to be careful. His episodes are typically less than 10 minutes. He gets in, he gets out, gives you the tip, and you walk away going, wow, that's going to really help me in my job, in whatever you're doing. If you're using a computer, you want to check this out. Again, his website is computertutorflorida.com. And here is a little bit of his show.
Have you ever had a document on your computer that you'd like to be able to read on your Kindle? Well, today I'll show you how to copy a file from your computer to your Kindle with a simple click of your mouse.
Welcome to another episode of The Computer Tutor. Tips, tricks, and advice from a computer pro without all the tech talk. And now, here is your computer tutor, Scott Johnson.
Good morning once again. I am Scott Johnson, and this is the Computer Tutor Podcast. If you're new to this show, I'm here every Monday morning, just like clockwork. This is actually episode 46, so we're coming up on having a full year of podcasts in the books. On this show, I like to show you something that you can do with your computer that maybe you didn't know you could do. But my whole thing is to make it simple. You know, a lot of computer geeks just love to make things complicated. I don't see any purpose in that because it's just confusing. So I try to explain things in regular words, not techie words. And as a reminder, if you have a problem with your computer, I can probably fix it for you without you or I leaving the comfort of our home or office. Just get in touch with me through my website. And everything on today's podcast can be found on my website at computertutorflorida.com/046. Today I'm talking about something that I found really handy, and I think it'll help a lot of people. And I'll bet a lot of people don't even know about this. I definitely was not aware of it until I got a note from my friend Irene. She said that her kids had given her a new digital camera, and the camera manufacturer offered a user guide, but it was a 66-page manual that was only available online in PDF format. That wasn't really very convenient since she wanted to have access to it when she was out using her camera somewhere. And she really didn't want to print a 66-page document and carry it around with her. But then she came across a way to get that PDF file sent right to her Kindle reader.
There you go. Good stuff. Right to the point. You know exactly what you're getting in. You're not going to waste your time with that podcast. So Scott's doing a great job. Again, you can find him over at Computer Tutor Florida. And I know I am a subscriber. All right, next up, I want to talk about growing your podcast audience, because that is probably the question I get. How do I grow my audience? I had a person once I did some consulting with. He has a national radio show. National. Actually, international. He speaks worldwide. But he actually has a syndicated radio show, and his first question was, how do I grow my audience? And so I'm going to be talking about this, I think, a lot in the future. I'm kind of reverse engineering this. And what I'd like to do, I'd like to get you involved with this, first things first. And if you could, email me. It's either dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments, 888-563-3228. You can also use the voicemail button out at the website, or just leave a comment in the blog. Go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/363. And I want to know the answer to this question. You ready? How do you find podcasts? Like the last couple that you've subscribed to, how did you find them? And the reason I'm asking that is as we start to understand how people are finding podcasts, then we can basically, let's say, I'm just going to throw this out there. Let's say that 40% of the people go, well, I heard the person on an interview. Okay, well, then we know that we need to really start trying to be interviewed, make ourselves available for interviews. You know, whatever it is, however people are finding them, we want to go where people are being found. And there are things like New and Noteworthy and iTunes and things like that. You do your best to get in there, things like that. But I want to find out how you are finding new podcasts to listen to. All right. And then we're going to reverse engineer this. So that's part one of this. The other thing, I do a podcast called the Grow Your Church Show. And before anybody gets nervous here, I'm going to be talking about churches, but I'm not talking about religion. Okay, so let's not get, I don't want to turn this into a religious discussion or a discussion about Christianity. Because what it is, the point here is there is a magazine called Outreach. And every year they come out with a list of the fastest growing churches. And they come out with, here are some tips to help grow your church, hence why I'm reading this magazine and things like that. But there are some really staggering statistics. Like 95% of churches have under 500 members. And depending on which stat you read, 60%, 71%, I saw another report, really high percentages have less than 100 members. Okay, the church I grew up in now has about 26 people in it. Okay, and I'm reading this article about churches that are just about ready to close the doors, and they have turned it around. They've grown their community. They've grown their audience. They've grown their membership. And I'm like, okay, what are these people doing? Because this is, now I'm going to talk about church like in a very business sense. And again, don't take this the wrong way, because I have the same problem when I deal with churches and I talk about, what are you doing for your marketing? They're like, you don't market God. And I'm like, okay, well, hold on a second. So, but let's call church an industry. You know, what are these people doing while other churches are dying literally and closing? What are these other churches doing? When I read this article, there was a couple things that stood out. Number one, in almost every instance, these churches where other churches were waiting for people to come to them, these churches went into their community. They got up out of the pew and they went into their community. All right. The other thing they did is they found, what were the greatest needs of their community? Was it poor people? Was it job training? What was it that their community needed? And then they would find a way to pull their resources together to organize themselves and help meet that need. When they did that, it gave their congregation felt like they had a purpose. And here's the thing, they would tell their friends and neighbors, and the people that they helped would tell their friends and neighbors and go, wow, this church is acting crazy. They're actually helping their community. And they helped me. Look at this. I used to do whatever. I was going to have my electricity shut off. I was going to do whatever the problem was. And this church helped me. And unfortunately, right, in some cases, that's not really going on a lot. So it makes them stand out. So in a nutshell, step one, they went into their community. They did not wait for people to come to them. They went to them. They went out. Then they found out what the biggest need was, and they found a way to help their community meet their need, to the point that if the answer to a question is, what would happen if your podcast went off the air? Or in this case, what would happen if this church went out of business? And if your community went, wow, we can't lose that church, they're so helpful, they really, really help us, then that's a good situation. If we say, what happens if you quit publishing your podcast and people go, I don't know, whatever, meh, it's okay, then you're not creating that wow content. You're not tying into your community. Now, I realize this doesn't apply to everybody. If you're a comedy podcast, or, you know, and you're like, well, okay, if that podcast went out the air, I wouldn't laugh as much, but you want to be missed, right? You want to make a connection with your audience. And if you quit podcasting, it's not going to be life or death, but you do want to make an impact. So I say that from a business standpoint, right? If you're doing a podcast for your business, you could answer those frequently asked questions that you always get from every customer when they go, Now, how long is typical shipping or blah, blah, blah? You can have a podcast that answers those frequently asked questions about your products, right? And that would then be a way to, you're finding the need, or in this case, the common questions of your community, and you could answer them there. Then you're seen as an expert, you're seen as helpful, and you are helping your client understand your product, right? So there are all sorts of different ways you can find the need of your client. If it's a potential client, you can answer questions. That's kind of what I do here. Answer questions in the community around your industry, and you'll be seen as helpful. You'll be seen as reliable if you can publish on a schedule that meets whatever that schedule is, weekly, biweekly, monthly, et cetera, et cetera. And then when you help people, they think about the last time somebody really helped you, you know, and you might probably go tell other people, this was really, really helpful. You got to check this out. A friend of mine turned me on to a piece of software. I think it's called RiffStation for guitar players. Phenomenal piece of software. And I've been telling all the guitar players I know. Why? Because he helped me, and I've now been helping them, and they're telling other people, because everybody likes to be helped. Everybody likes to get over that hump. And so that could be a strategy when you come down to, okay, what kind of content am I going to be creating? Because we know one of the things that really helps grow your podcast is great content, right? Word of mouth is the best form of publicity. And so you've got to get people talking about your podcast. How do you get people talking about your podcast? By helping them eliminate their needs, by helping them eliminate their pains. That's the strategy. Now, like I said, this isn't going to apply to everybody, but this is something that I do. I try to look at other industries, see how they're growing, and see how we can apply it to podcasting. So I'm going to call it quits on this topic and just say, you know, look at, there are all sorts of different things we can look at. Marketing, there are all sorts of publicity, things like that. What are people doing to get the word out? What are other industries doing to grow their business, to grow their audience, to connect with their community and things like that? Because we need to do probably those same things with our podcast if we truly want to grow our audience. Next up, want to talk about the patent troll. Now, if you're new to this, this is a company that is going out. They somehow were issued a patent that they're saying podcasters are violating their patent. And the good news is the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, has picking up the gauntlet to say, look, somebody's got to stop this person. Somebody's got to stop that company. And they're going to pick up and run with it. Now, they need money to cover their legal fees. And the good news is, when I saw the Kickstarter campaign, they actually exceeded their goal. But that doesn't mean that is over. It's never, you know how, trust me, legal issues can get really expensive real quick. And so I'll put links to how to contribute and also to this article, which is actually from a patent attorney. I've got a little audio clip that I'm going to play, and he's going to explain this. You'll notice today, Scott was explaining computer stuff in plain English. I'm trying my best here to explain podcasting in plain English. And here you have a patent podcaster who is explaining this whole patent troll business, you guessed it, in plain English. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. This is Greg Gronholm at thepatentpodcast.com. This is a special call to action episode for the podcasting community. I've prepared a step-by-step list of what we need to break the personal audio podcast patent. If you have information on that list, I'm going to show you how to get it to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, who's asking for help from the public to invalidate what's being called the podcast patent. I'm a podcaster that's been practicing patent law for over 28 years, but this isn't about me. This is just about getting the word out to as many people as possible about what we need to invalidate this patent now that podcasters are getting sued over it. Let me first make it clear, I'm not with the EFF. I'm simply a podcaster that makes a living as a patent attorney. All opinions here are mine only. First, let me give you a quick summary of patent law. Just because a patent is granted doesn't mean it can't be invalidated. One way to invalidate a patent is by showing that there's information out there that should have been reviewed by the patent office, but wasn't. When patents are applied for, the U.S. Patent Office is supposed to review the state of the art as it was at the time the application was filed, to make sure any patents they grant only cover new technology. Part of that process is a review of older patents, publications, etc. All this is generally called prior art. At the same time, it's really not possible for the patent office to know everything that's out there. So there is a process that allows a patent to be challenged if prior art's discovered later that would have prevented it from being issued in the first place. This is where we in the podcast community can work together. I'm going to describe here the concept that Personal Audio says it has patented. If we can turn up information that shows their concept wasn't new when they applied for their patent, we can invalidate it. Personal Audio filed their patent application in 1996. So I'm going to suggest you generally keep that year in mind, 1996, when we're trying to come up with new prior art. At the same time, though, if you've got anything close, I suggest you go ahead and forward it and let the lawyer sort it out. Here are four features that Personal Audio says that it put together for the first time around 1996. So listen closely. Number one, an internet client-server relationship. Number two, a series of media files which have an episodic nature in that they come one after the other in time, with each of those files having its own URL. Number three, an updatable list of the media, with this updatable list being updated as each new episode comes along. And the list has to have its own URL. And number four, internet access by the client to download the list, read about the episodes in the list, and then pick from the list to get the media. All four of those elements need to be together in whatever prior art we're trying to find to invalidate this patent. I have to assume that how this is being applied to podcasting is that the RSS data file is the updatable list, and subscribers to that list, people that listen to podcasts, can read about, pick, and download podcasts from that list. Podcasting is never mentioned per se in the patent. They just use more general terms like media files and episodes. And there is where I think the breadth of the patent, or its alleged breadth, could be its downfall. The broader that Personal Audio asserts its patent is, the higher the chance is that its patent can be invalidated, because more prior art can be used against it. So let's step back just a little bit, and let me repeat what I'd look for if I was going to try to invalidate this patent. Remember again, Personal Audio filed their patent application on October 2, 1996, so we need to find information before that date. Here's the four elements, one last time. Element one, an internet client-server relationship. Element two, a series of media files which have an episodic nature in that they come one after each other in time, with each of those media files having its own URL. Element three, an updatable list of this media that's updated as each new episode comes along. And that list has to have its own URL. And the last element, element four, is internet access by the client to download the list, read about the episodes in the list, and then pick from the list to get the media. If you go to my site, thepatentpodcast.com, it has all the links that you need to forward information to the EFF. Or you can just Google EFF podcast patent and you'll eventually get to the page where they ask for prior art from the public. All you have to do is just leave a comment on that page. They've got it so you can leave comments and leave whatever information you have about prior art in your comment. Some of the best information to use comes from printed publications like magazines or trade publications, patents, books, things with a clear publication date. But don't limit yourself too much. Just use your best judgment. If you think you have a good strong lead, go ahead and forward it to the EFF. Maybe somebody else can pick up on it. Even if you don't have the information, pass this podcast episode along to somebody who might. If you're a podcaster, you're also more than welcome to include this podcast as a segment in your podcast. Thanks for taking the time to listen. Once again, this is Greg Gronholm at thepatentpodcast.com. Happy hunting.
Well, there you go. You can find him at thepatentpodcast.com. I'll have links to this exact episode if you go again to schoolofpodcasting.com/363. And that is going to do it for this episode. Now, if you tuned in today thinking you're going to hear Jim Collison and I talk about Google Analytics and listing your podcast on multiple free websites to, again, build your audience, that was my intent. And I completely forgot. Here in the U.S., we had a holiday, and to make a long story short, it wrecked my entire weekend. That was the bad news. The good news is I got to hang out with family and friends and things like that. But when you are doing interviews, you can spend a lot of time editing, depending on the scenario. And I talked to Jim for a very long time. You can find him over at theaverageguy.tv. Great guy, super guy. And you'll hear, when you hear this interview next week, he again pulls back the curtain, talks complete stats, doesn't hold anything back about his different techniques that he's using to promote his podcast. And you'll be able to hear this and go, is that something I want to pursue or not? So I originally planned to air that interview this week, but with the holiday, everything just got a kind of thrown out the window, and I just didn't have the time I needed to edit it into a place. And so you'll be hearing that real soon. Again, that's my apologies to Jim. I had told him it was going to be out this week. And my apologies to you if you listened last week and you heard me say that. So it just didn't happen. And trust me on this, the way it is right now, it's really long. And I want to kind of cut it down to get to just the good parts. Not that there were bad parts, but the parts where, Jim and I are just having fun and things like that. So we're going to cut it down to where it's just, again, straight to the point, get to the content, get in, get out. So you can expect that in the future. So, again, want to thank you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show and you're like, I don't know about this guy, he's a little crazy, a little wacky a little bit, I ask you to give me a couple more plays here. Go back, maybe listen to last week's episode, the week before that. Jim Collison is the guy that said when he first started listening to me that he wasn't really sure about me. He goes, you're kind of an acquired taste. So, depending on what you think about me, I just say, yeah, give me a couple spins before you unsubscribe. I do hope that, again, if you are new to the show, I started off today talking about howtopodcast.com. That is not my normal MO. I normally just have content to help you. I don't normally just start off pimping a new service that I have put together here. I am very excited about that. I'm very excited to be working with some great people in the future. But that is not normally the way the show starts. So my apologies if this is the first episode you've ever listened to. I do look forward to hearing from you. And again, go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/363 and let me know, how are you finding the podcast? Any new podcast, how did you find them? Because I want to reverse engineer this. And let's all work together to find out, really, if I really truly want to grow my audience. I know content is king, but is there more to it than that? So, and we'll be answering that question along with other things. I'm going to be talking about podcast statistics again with Jim next week and a little more in the future. So we've got a lot of great things coming. You can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes, and that'll take you right there. While you're there, if you feel so inclined, I would greatly, just hugely appreciate having a review in iTunes. That would be great. And also want to send a quick shout out to the person, and you know who you are, who was very nice. I thought I would share this. I'm not bragging here. I just want to let you guys know this does happen. Somebody donated, and I didn't clear with them, so I'm not going to say his name here. Donated $104 to the show. Is not a member of the School of Podcasting. Just donated $104. And when I asked him, I said, "What is this for?" And he goes, "It's $2 a week for the whole coming year." He goes, "I really have benefited a lot from your show and just wanted to give back." So when I talk about the law of reciprocity, where people want to do nice things for people who have done nice things for them, case in point, I woke up and had $104 in my PayPal account with me going, "What's this for?" So it was really, really cool. And thank you very much for that. I deeply appreciate that, especially these days. And I look forward to working with every one of you. So I always remind you, live a life worth podcasting about. And I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much. Enjoy your week. And we'll see you again real soon with another episode of School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Take care. Class dismissed. God bless.